The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is Holy Trinity Sunday. It's that day that we recognize the significance of the God whom we worship. One God in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, yet only one God. And it's a concept or a doctrine that it's hard for us to wrap our minds around. How can you have only one God, but yet be in three persons? And I'll tell you this, that I know even some of the finest theologians have not quite figured out how to explain this or understand it completely and fully. I have heard some different analogies to help us kind of understand what this means as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, yet one God. And you've probably heard these before, but think about water. Water is water. In normal circumstances, normal temperatures, water is a liquid. But then if the temperature drops, it comes into a different form. It's freeze solid, or it comes down as snow or sleet or freezing rain. It has a different structure, different nature to it, but it's still the same thing. It's still water, still H2O. Or if the temperature rises very high, water will vaporize and you get steam, or it turns into clouds or fog. And again, it has a different nature to it, but at the same time, it is still the same substance. Or another analogy, if you look at a person, a man can be a father. He can also be a son at the same time. He can be an employee and a boss at the same time. He can be an uncle, or he can be a nephew at the same time. Or he can be a friend. He can be an enemy, all at the same time. Same person, but it's looking at it in ways of relationship. With different people, you have different relationships with them. Different people see you in a different way. And that's the God we worship then too. He comes to us as three different persons, three different expressions, a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, yet we worship only one God. It's not an easy concept to wrap our heads around. And there's a story about St. Augustine. St. Augustine was converted to Christianity in the year 386 AD. 10 years later, he became the Bishop of Hippo, which is located on the north shore of the continent of Africa, on the Mediterranean Sea, in what we know of now as Algeria. But he was the bishop at that time, and the story is told that he was walking along the beach, contemplating this whole idea of one God in three persons. And as he was contemplating that, he noticed a boy there on the beach, and the little boy had dug a little hole in the sand, and he had a cup, and he would run down to the waves and scoop up a cup of water and run back to his little hole and pour that cup into that hole in the sand. And then he'd run back and get another cup full and pour it into that hole. And St. Augustine was curious with this and watched him for a little while, and then asked the boy, "What are you doing?" And the little boy says, "I'm going to fill my hole with this whole ocean. And St. Augustine kind of laughed and said, that's impossible. And the little boy said, no more impossible than you trying to fit God into your head. We can't understand God fully. We don't have a full picture of who God is at this time. St. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 13. I see in a mirror dimly. When looking into a mirror in that day and time, most of the mirrors were made out of polished metal, and you had imperfections. So what you would see back, you could see an image of yourself back again, but there was a distortion in there. And that's how we see God at this point. Yes, we know God is there. We can see God in action. We can see him from day to day. We can feel him within our lives, but yet we still don't have that full capacity of knowing exactly who God is and how God works. C.S. Lewis once said that one of the most common words once we get up to heaven is going to be the word, oh, such as, oh, now I understand, or, oh, now I see what God's plan was for me, or, oh, now I know why I had to go through that suffering and that pain. We do not know now what all God has in store for us. We do not see a complete, full picture of who God is and how God operates and what God wants for us. But we get that glimpse. We get that glimmer. But we don't see the whole picture. Sometimes we don't want to see a full picture of what the truth is. What the truth is of God, or what the truth is of what we have done to one another. A lot of times we run into a lot of questions. We have lots of questions. How can this all work with God in a Trinity? How can God be both human and be both man? We also look at the world and say, how can the world be this way? Or how can I be a sinner if God created me in his image? How can other people do such devastating things? We have a lot of questions of why. Why does this happen? Why do I have to suffer so much? Why did that person whom I loved have to die? Why is my child not healthy? Why did a gunman go into a school in Uvalde? Why? Why do these things happen? We don't have answers to all these questions. We do not know. And it bothers people when we don't have the answers to those questions. And so people start to fill in the gaps. And a lot of times those fill-in parts to the gaps are not true. They are not the truth. And so not only do we not see the whole picture of the truth, now we're starting to see a corruption of the truth, of what is going on. I went to a theological conference several years back, and we were through for the day, but it was still fairly early. I wasn't ready to go to sleep yet, but I had gone back up to the hotel room, and I turned on the TV. I wanted to catch up with the news stories for the day since I was in meetings all day. And so I turned on one cable news station, watched that for a little while, and heard the day's events, and then I switched it over to another cable news station, and I watched the same events, but it were completely different stories. It came at me from completely different angles. The stories, particularly the political stories, were completely different from one another. Each cable channel was trying to hit their target audience and feeding them only the news that they wanted to hear. Both sides. And there was truth in both sides. But then there was also truth left out, either intentionally or unintentionally. And so the only way really to see the truth is it's somewhere in between the two. And it's left up to me to figure it out, and I'm not sharp enough to figure out what exactly is the truth. Where does it fall in? The world is trying to tell us different things, and a lot of times they're contrasting to each other. Where is that truth? Where is the basis for us in how to live our lives and in what we believe? A lot of times, people will believe only what they want to believe. They will believe when they think that this is going to affect me in the best way. And so our filter for truth so many times in this world is to look, what is best for me? What is the best solution for me? What is true for me? But that's not what Scripture tells us. The Scripture tells us this morning that Christ will send His Advocate, His Holy Spirit, who will lead us into all truth. That's why it's so important that we come and hear God's Word. That's why it's so important that we read through Scriptures, that we study Scriptures, that we are in conversation about what God has to say, and also that we do listen for that Holy Spirit who speaks to us, who tries to lead us and guide us and enlighten us and call us back to Jesus Christ. Because that's where the truth is. The truth is within Jesus Christ. As we look back at that story of the crucifixion, we can see how this untruth of the world affects even that story. Because Jesus was arrested on an untruth. They arrested him on the premise that he was going to try to overrun the Roman government, to take over the Roman government, to destroy the government in power. And so the religious leaders brought up all these false charges. They could not handle the truth of who Jesus truly was. They could not handle the truth that people were willing to listen to Jesus. They could not handle the truth of what Jesus was saying. They could not handle the truth of what Jesus was doing. And so they had to get rid of him. Their truth was, what we are doing, that is what is true. But it was not the truth. And so they had him arrested on pretense. They also had false witnesses to come and testify at his trial. And when Jesus went up before Pontius Pilate, they shouted out, "Crucify! Crucify him!" They energized the crowd to go along with them. People are willing to believe what they want to believe, even if it is not the truth. But in the end, the truth does come out. Jesus was who he said he was. He was the Son of God. He was the Savior of the world. Jesus is life. God is life. Jesus rose back from the dead. Death could not even hold him. He rose back to life. And so as we look at this world, we see the suffering in this world. We get discouraged in this world. We get bombarded with all sorts of messages. Sometimes it is true. Many times it is not the truth, and it is not based on the truth. And we hear all these things, and we get depressed. We ask why. But yet, in our second lesson for today, St. Paul says, suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. It is in that hope of listening to the truth, to listening to what should be the basis of our lives, this Word of God. And when we hear the truth, when we know the truth, that truth sets us free. We are the children of God. We listen to God. Listen for that Spirit of where the Spirit is calling us to be, and we will be made free. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.